Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Today I want to open the broadcast by pointing out that there are people that want to undermine the fine-tuning of the universe. For example, theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking is infamous for supposing that the existence of a vast number of universes negates the fine-tuning of the universe argument. In other words, given a sufficient number of random universes, one of them is bound to have the necessary conditions to support not only intelligent life, but the proposition that blind chance can account for fine-tuning. In reality, however, the multiverse proposition is an utterly desperate attempt to account for this unfathomably fine-tuned universe. We should note that there is not a shred of empirical evidence to support the existence of a physical universe other than our own, much less a virtually infinite number of these universes. So Hawking's hope, and the hope of multitudes who share such fanatical presuppositions, is based on theological and theoretical pining, not scientific discovery. In addition to undermining science, this multiverse notion throws plain old common sense under the bus. Imagine trying to convict a murderer in a multiverse in which empirical evidence has been sacrificed on the altar of philosophically improbable propositions. In that kind of a universe or multiverse, stories of revolvers materializing out of thin air might well be as credible as eyewitness testimony. Eminent theoretical physicist and, by the way, Hawking colleague Roger Penrose got it right. Even though he himself was an agnostic, he concluded that the multiple universe hypothesis is impotent. It's misconceived. The Big Bang turns out to be an event of almost infinitesimal probability, and the probabilistic resources provided by a multiverse turn out to be insufficiently rich. And where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us right here, the most plausible explanation for the fine-tuning of the universe are the very first words on the very first page of the very first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I said it before, it bears repeating, how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. The issue of origins is the seminal apologetic issue. We had a Darwinian revolution. We can have a biblical counter-revolution, but it will only happen if Christians are equipped to always be ready to give an answer with gentleness and with respect. A lot of people hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today is Joe. He's listening in New York. Hi, Joe.
Hello. I was curious, is there any redemption for people that are already in hell? Are they chance that Jesus will go pick his people that he wants and save them if they're already there?
The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So we have this opportunity to respond to the light of creation, the light of conscience, and if we do, receive the light of Christ. So those who end up apart from the goodness and grace of God for all eternity are those who do not want a relationship with God. All who want a relationship can freely receive that relationship, not only for time, but also for eternity.
And is that for, like, people who died before Jesus died on the cross, or...
Well, remember,
I don't understand that either.
Well, remember that before Jesus Christ came, people could look forward to Jesus Christ through types and shadows. And that's why Paul says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact time and places that they should live, and he did this so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. What Paul is saying there is, in every epoch of time, people have the light of creation, they have the light of conscience, and if they respond to that light, like Ruth, a Canaanite, they could become part of a system of types and shadows that prefigured Christ. Ruth, who was a Moabite, the archenemy of Israel, too came into the knowledge of Christ through types and shadows long before the time of Christ. So in every epoch of time, God has given us all the information necessary so that we could reach out and find him, as Paul again says, though he is not far away from each one of us. And again, how can we contextualize that? Well, we can contextualize that because anyone looking out at the night sky, or for that matter, the day sky, and seeing the sun or the moon and the stars, immediately knows there's a creator. If we see a basketball, we know that there's a basketball manufacturer. How much more so when we see something as sophisticated as our universe? So we all have the light of creation, which cries out that there is a God. But we also have an internal knowledge of God, which is the fact that God has written the knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness. So we are without excuse. We have the light. The problem, as Jesus notes to Nicodemus, is not that we don't have light. It's that we love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. So anyone who does not find Christ, either through types and shadows before Christ or with the reality of Christ after Christ, does so because they don't want light, not because there's insufficient light.
All right. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Wayne, Jefferson City, Missouri. Hi, Wayne.
Hello. I just want to thank you for your show. What a blessing. I listen every night on my way home to work.
Oh, thank you.
You were talking about Hawkins, and I believe he's an atheist. I think he said he was. Is there, people like him, they lead others astray with their doctrine or philosophy. Is there God's judgment on them for those that he's led astray?
I think that is a sobering fact for all of us. All of us will be held accountable for what we do in the body. And if you have a broad platform like Stephen Hawking, and you neglect the truth or obscure the truth for people, you are leading many into darkness, and as a result of that, there is a stricter judgment. So yes, I mean, I think this is a sobering thought for everyone who has a platform, large or small. We're held accountable for the opportunities that we have.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thanks, Hank. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Marcus in Texas. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Hank. Enjoy your show. Love to hear you. Listen to you every day coming from home from work.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
My question is, what is your view on Masons, Freemasons, that is? I hear a lot about them, but I kind of think that maybe they're a cult also.
Well, certainly, we did a CRI perspective in which we point out that they are occultic, yes, and they have this universalism in which you can define God in whatever way you want to define God. You can call him Allah, you can call him Buddha, you can call him Krishna, you can call him Jesus, and the Masonic Bible contains an article that while religions are many, religion is one, and therefore men can come to their altars regardless of their gods. So it's teaching an implicit universalism that is in direct opposition to a biblical worldview.
Thanks, Hank. That's a question I've been wanting to get to you, and I appreciate your answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And it's important for us not only to curse the darkness, but it is to light a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. That's what we're doing each and every day. We're demonstrating that there are answers to questions, and we can use those well-reasoned answers as opportunities to share the truth, the love, the grace, the light that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. Jesus is the only way. Why? Because no one could do what Jesus did. He lived the perfect life which we could never live. And he offers us his perfection as an absolutely free gift. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can merely reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. But once you've received that gift, you want to give the gift of the river of the water of life, the bread of life, to those who are now hungry and thirsty, looking to fill the vacuum. Be right back with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jeff. He's listening in Columbia, Tennessee. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. How are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you for your ministry. I have a question. I'd like to preface it with a statement. I do not subscribe to the gap theory. When he said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then the earth was void, darkness upon the face of the deep, and then God spoke and said, let there be light. Do you believe there are any scriptural legs or evidence for an interminably long period of time prior to God beginning his six-day span of creation, which this ties into the gap theory? But I'm just wondering, do you think that has any legs whatsoever?
Well, I see that you don't buy into the gap theory, neither do I, but I also do not buy into reading the book of Genesis in any other way than the way in which the literature is intended. To mine the Bible for all its wealth or to read the Bible for all its worth means that we apply the art and science of biblical interpretation, which is a science in that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. But I think what you get out of that passage, and you don't get anything more out of this, is that God created everything out of nothing. So the universe doesn't emanate from God's nature. It's a distinct creation that he makes. There's nothing before the universe, but when God speaks, the universe leaps into existence. And then what you have in Genesis chapter 1 is a hierarchy of creation, not a chronology of creation. I think all too often we read more into that passage than what is warranted. A lot of people are reading things into that passage which I think are unwarranted, and you allude to that by saying that there are many people that hold to a gap theory and as a result of that think that there's some kind of a long or an indeterminate period of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:1 is a unique statement in ancient Near Eastern creation accounts, and it indicates the very beginning, creation out of nothing.
Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate it, and I really appreciate your ministry, and be blessed, okay?
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jennifer. She's listening in Missouri. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about the Mennonite faith. Do they hold to the essentials of the Christian doctrine?
Well, some do, some don't. I don't think that the Mennonites are necessarily monolithic any more than the Methodists are monolithic. But they do have some distinctives like passivism and personal purity in Christian living. They were, incidentally, founded by a Dutchman. And as a result of that, they have many different permutations. They have, for example, the Amish, which is the most conservative branch of the Mennonites. So again, I think what's important is to recognize the fact that they're not monolithic, they're multifaceted.
Okay.
But there are many Mennonites that do hold to essential Christian doctrine.
Okay. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Pamela next in Bellingham, Washington. Hi, Pamela.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. I do understand that we must take into consideration the whole Bible, not just pull out a verse or two for an answer to a question. I would like to know, in your opinion, do the scriptures teach that adultery is the only reason for divorce, and what do you base your opinion on?
Well, my opinions are not any more valid than anybody else's opinions. I have to test them in light of some objective frame of reference, and in this case, it's the Bible. And the Bible seems to give us more than one grounds for divorce, so it's plural, not singular. And those grounds are not only adultery, but also desertion. And again, there are many different things that can constitute, legitimately from a biblical perspective, desertion. But I think ultimately we have to look at the fact that the Bible never wants divorce to be a reality, that it's always a function of the hardness of our hearts, and that the greatest good is reconciliation. And thus, no matter what the circumstance, we are called to be willing to forgive. And the operative word is willing, because forgiveness always requires two parties, because otherwise reconciliation can't take place. It requires someone who is willing to forgive as well as someone who is wanting to be forgiven. So in our hearts, since we have been, as Christians, forgiven a debt, which is a debt which cannot be calculated, we must always have within our consciousness that same willingness to forgive others who desperately desire reconciliation.
I agree with that. We need to be like Jesus and forgive 70 times 7, whatever. But our preacher has preached that desertion and abuse are valid reasons for a divorce. Yes, you should forgive, but they're the only biblical reasons.
Well, and I'm saying essentially the same thing. I'm saying that desertion is a biblical reason as well as adultery. I think you find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if you have an unbelieving party who leaves or deserts, you're not bound in that circumstance, you're free. So from that perspective, looking at the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, there would be more than one grounds for divorce. It would be two grounds for divorce, adultery and desertion.
Okay, and not abuse.
Well, there are things that, in fact, rise to the level of desertion. And I think abuse can be one of those things. Now, there may be an intermediate step that you take, and that is separation. So if you're in harm's way and you're in physical danger, then separation would be a legitimate, prudent step to take. But again, what you're always praying for is restoration and reconciliation. That's central to the Christian worldview.
Right. Okay. Well, I didn't think about the desertion by the unbeliever. And I'm familiar with the passage. Okay, I don't see the abuse. I haven't seen it anywhere, and I have looked. So,
well, adultery and willful desertion are obvious, and they can be irreparable violations of covenant love. But there are other sins against marriage that could, and this is the point that I'm making, that could rise to the same level of covenant unfaithfulness, just like adultery and desertion. And that could include physical abuse. It could involve refusal to work and support the family. It could involve illicit, illegal activities that threaten the safety of the family. It could involve a refusal to bear or care for children. It could involve unrepentant addiction or pornography or alcoholism or drug abuse or forsaking the home and so forth. So we're saying that there are things that cumulatively could rise to the level of desertion. And that's why I think it's very important for people to consider these matters within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church where you're getting some legitimate counseling. But this is not in any way saying that we are looking for an escape hatch. Precisely the opposite is the case biblically. The biblical prescriptions are there for a reason. The primary reason in the culture is men could put away women for any or every reason. And so they were always looking for an escape hatch, something to justify neglecting their responsibility, their oath, and their commitment to love and nurture and care for. Jesus comes into that context and says, no, the reason Moses gave a writ of divorce was because of the hardness of your heart. But it wasn't that way from the beginning. The two were to become one. So in any case, in a fallen world, you have exceptions only because of the hardness of the heart. You don't have exceptions such as, well, let me look for the quickest way out and let me make this as broad as possible. So now you say, well, I wasn't just physically abused, I was emotionally abused. And you start going down that road, and pretty soon you have a rationalization to get out of a marriage as opposed to put into a marriage and work hard to rub the rough edges off one another. I mean, what happens in any marriage is you have two imperfect people put together. And if both of them were identical, one of them would be unnecessary. And what they end up doing is they rub the rough edges off one another, and in the end, they become better people. They become conformed to the image of Christ to some extent through the marital process. So we shouldn't look for the grass that's greener on the other side of the fence, and most of the time it's dead. It just looks greener. We should seek in every instance reconciliation, just as we have been offered reconciliation through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
I agree with that.
Well, hopefully that helps. Here's something that I would want to commend you, and that is an article in the Christian Research Journal. It's called Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage, and I think it could be very helpful to you. It lays everything out from a biblical perspective. It's written by someone who's very knowledgeable in this area, Dr. Michael Ross. And again, I think it's one of the best resources on this particular subject. It's an important resource because this is something that people struggle with more and more as society devolves. And I'd be happy to send it to you as my gift. Thank you so much for calling, and so long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.